Let's get down to business. Taking a look at Wall Street. Dow Jones Industrial Average down 7 to close at 20,093. The S&P 500 Index down 1 at 2,294. NASDAQ Composite up 5 at 5,660. Russell 2000 Small and Mid Caps down 5 at 1,370. Yield on the 10-year Treasury down 2 basis points at 2.48%. Oil down 64 cents at $53.14 per barrel. Gold up $2.90 at $1,192.20 per ounce. The major market indices traded in a tight range today. NASDAQ pulled out another record high close. Celebrate however you wish. Meanwhile, the VIX, the Volatility Index, closed at 10.52. That's a multi-year low, indicating a certain complacency among investors, not in all sectors for sure, but perhaps regarding overall market risk. Gross domestic product, the value of all goods and services produced, rose at a 1.9% annualized rate in the fourth quarter, following the prior quarter's 3.5% rate of growth. For the full year, the U.S. economy grew just 1.6%. That's down from a 2.6% clip in 2015. Still, even if growth was a bit sluggish, it marks 7 straight years of growth. A wider trade deficit, a negative for GDP, was by far the biggest anchor in the fourth quarter. The economy would have topped 3% growth if the trade gap was basically unchanged. Consumers increased spending by a solid 2.5% with strong purchases of big-ticket items such as new cars or computers. Businesses also ratcheted up overall spending, including the first increase in equipment purchases in 5 quarters. Home builders boosted investment in new housing by just over 10%, marking the first advance in 3 quarters. Companies also stocked up more. The value of inventories jumped by over $48 billion after barely any change in the spring and fall. The GDP estimate is the first of 3 for the quarter, with the other releases scheduled for February and March when more info becomes available. Today's GDP report shows there is still plenty of room for economic growth, and President Trump's proposals for tax cuts and infrastructure spending could certainly bolster the economy in the short term. But in economics, things tend to cut both ways. Expansionary fiscal policy would likely lead to a stronger dollar, which would harm U.S. manufacturing. We could also see a higher federal deficit. And then, of course, remember the Federal Reserve is standing by to make sure we maintain price stability. And even though the Fed is not expected to hike rates at their FOMC policy meeting next week, they anticipate 3 hikes this year, which would be much more likely in the face of fiscal accommodation. Orders for long-lasting goods made in the U.S. fell in December for the 2nd month in a row, largely because of a cutback in demand from the Pentagon. New orders for durable goods dropped 0.4% last month. Bookings for defense-related equipment, including jets and other major hardware, accounted for the unexpected decline. Orders were also weak for primary metals, fabricated parts, and computers. One strong area, orders for new cars, rose 2%. Mexican President Enrique Peña Nieto scrapped a planned trip to meet with President Trump, who has repeatedly demanded that Mexico pay for a wall on the U.S. border. And then today, it was announced that Peña and Trump talked on the phone for about an hour, but nothing new on a wall or how to pay for it. White House spokesman Sean Spicer, in a not-so-internal monologue, told reporters Trump was considering a 20% tax on Mexican imports to pay for the wall's construction. That was later corrected to be just one of a buffet of options on the table. Just a reminder, the U.S. has a $68 billion trade deficit with Mexico, and Mexico is our 3rd-largest trading partner. Mexican billionaire Carlos Slim, who once opposed a Donald Trump presidency and later said it would be very good for Mexico, held a press conference today in Mexico City. Slim offered his services to help Peña negotiate with Trump and called on Mexicans from all political parties to unite behind President Peña in his discussions with Trump. Slim says Trump's plans to bring manufacturing jobs to the U.S. would only result in higher prices for U.S. consumers. Slim is Mexico's wealthiest man, one of the world's richest people, with an empire that encompasses telecoms, mining, banking, and construction. Theresa May last night offered to help President Trump to prevent the West from being eclipsed by China, as she urged him not to shirk his obligation to lead the world. The UK Prime Minister also hopes he can be an economic ally after Britain's divorce from Europe. She'll need a trade deal with the U.S. The pair met face-to-face today, making her the first foreign leader to step into Trump's Oval Office, and then they held a very brief joint press conference. May said Trump had committed 100% to NATO. May said the UK was opposed to lifting sanctions on Russia. Trump said he believes in torture. They both said they thought they could have a friendly relationship. The U.S. is Britain's biggest export destination after the EU, accounting for over 15% of the country's exports. Last week, May confirmed that Britain would leave the EU's single market and customs union, allowing it to sign trade agreements of its own after the process of exit is completed. The process includes the Brexit Bill, which Parliament must approve to empower the Prime Minister to start the 2-year negotiation period for Britain to leave the 28-nation bloc. The EU is hanging tough on not starting any sort of Brexit talks until Britain pulls the Article 50 trigger. The EU treaty stipulates that departure happens in 24 months, irrespective of whether an exodus includes neat and clean trade bills. Pretty much everyone agrees that a Brexit by default rather than a negotiated Brexit would be worse for the UK. And while there is a mechanism for extension, it requires unanimous approval of the 27 remaining states. The UK is so widely disliked in the EU that no one expects an extension to be granted. So the importance of a UK-US trade deal becomes all the more important, even though it can't technically be negotiated just yet. At the very least, it means Prime Minister May is negotiating from a position of weakness. Trump has scheduled a phone conversation with Russian President Vladimir Putin and also German Chancellor Angela Merkel on Saturday. Not a three-way call. Trump's PR team has been laying the groundwork for possibly removing sanctions against Russia, imposed after Russia invaded Ukraine and annexed Crimea. Today, Arizona Senator John McCain said easing sanctions was a reckless course. Alphabet's revenue beat analyst estimates, but its profits per share missed expectations due to the company paying a much larger tax rate than anticipated. Alphabet, along with Microsoft and Intel, which also reported results after the closing bell yesterday, continue to show that cloud services remain the biggest growth area in tech. Microsoft shares hit an all-time high today in trading, and market cap topped $500 billion for the first time in 17 years. Apple, Amazon, and Facebook report their earnings next week. Starbucks slashed its 2017 revenue forecast. Starbucks' first quarter results mostly in line with estimates, but said it saw 2017 revenue growth of 8-10%, down from its previous estimate of a double-digit rise. Chevron missed profit and revenue estimates for the fourth quarter. CEO John Watson said the earnings reflect the low oil and gas prices during the past year. The company cut capital and operating costs by $14 billion in 2016. In Europe, UBS Group kicked off a run of bank earnings releases this morning, saying all its money management units saw net redemptions in the last quarter. UBS investors pulled out $15.2 billion in the fourth quarter, and margins at its wealth management business declined for a third straight quarter. even as rising stock markets and higher interest rates in the U.S. lifted earnings. Sears down more than 9% to under $8 per share, sending the company's stock to its lowest price since its merger with Kmart back in 2004. The decline on top of an earlier 7% drop in Sears shares on Wednesday when Fitch Ratings called attention to the chain's significant cash burn. The company also ended up at the top of a Bloomberg Intelligence list of retailers with the highest risk of bankruptcy. And Iranian supertankers are sailing to Europe for the first time since sanctions were eased last year, as one of the world's biggest crude shippers moves to step up deliveries. While European refiners have been taking small cargoes of Iranian oil, these are the first vessels operated by the National Iranian Tanker Company, rather than independent shippers. Each of the very large crude carriers are capable of carrying more than 2 million barrels. And Lunar New Year celebrations are underway. Markets in China and across much of Asia will be shuttered over the next week in celebration of the Lunar New Year. And Happy New Year to you, too. Dow Jones Industrial Average down 7 to close at 20,093. The S&P 500 Index down 1 at 2,294. NASDAQ Composite up 5 at 5,660. That's a record high close for the NASDAQ. As always, we invite you to follow along at moneyradio.com, live streaming and archived audio. The daily blog is eatthebankers.com. Text, audio, and much more at eatthebankers.com.